So let's go to Daniel 3:14, and I'm going to jump down to, then what God, Nebuchadnezzar, speaking to my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. That's how I remember their names. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And they answered, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. That's quite a stand. In those days, your hand, your head, was in the hands of the king. He could have your head chopped off right there. But he thinks, now, I'd rather make it last a little. So he tells the guys to heat up the furnace 7 times to what it normally is. 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie them up and throw them into the blazing furnace. These men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the guys who threw them in. But then the king jumps up and he says in amazement to his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we put into the fire? They said, yes. I'm just abbreviating. You watch the scriptures. Look, I see 4 men walking around in the furnace. So there's 3 of them plus 1 more. So the king calls them out. He says, my shack, your shack, and a bungalow, come out here. Your bungalows haven't even burnt down and you're in the fire. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was not even a smell of smoke on them. Listen, most guys after a bra, they're going to bath or shower because they smell like smoke, just because they've got close to the fire. But yes, these guys, they've been in the fire, and I say it's with Jesus, and they come out not even smelling as smoke. So the king begins to speak to them, and it ends with the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So this morning, I'm going to speak about the furnace, the flame, the faculties, the favor. How's that, Dan? I just love it when Dan says I'm awesome, because he doesn't say that easily. So listen, guys, there cannot be a fire without a furnace. There has to be a furnace. If it's going to burn, if it's going to be able to heat it up 7 times, it can't be a normal bra. It has to be a furnace. And the hotter the furnace, the greater our dependence has to be on God. Those guys, they put their faith in God, and Jesus came to walk with them. Fire needs fuel. Fire needs flow, oxygen, and it needs flame. Ignition. We had a bra the other day, no one had fire lighters. And we were old school, so we wanted fire lighters. We didn't have the gas bottle with the thing on the bottom that starts the fire. And without a fire lighter, it's really hard to start a fire. Take some scout stuff. Our hearts need to be good fuel for God's fire. Then on top of that, when we started to get it going, we realized that the wood was wet. So there was a lot of smoke and not too much fire. I want to say to you, make sure your heart is not wet, that it's good fuel for the Lord to work with. The flame, our passion for God. Fan into flame the gift of God. Fan it into flame. Fan it into flame is a verb. It's a doing word. Who's still at school? It's a doing word. It's a verb. You have to do it. You don't look at it. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul laid the hands on, and that's what happens here often. Elders, leaders, saints lay hands on people, but people walk out of here and they don't do it. They don't begin to fan what God has put in their life. They let it die. I want to urge you today that when that fire ignites, that you fan it into flame. Back in Gauteng, when I lived there, if we didn't have fire lighters, we'd just get a little thing going, and then we'd get the fan. Have you seen how quickly a fan starts when you put it on? It's like, fan it. When God delivers, He does so completely without the smell of smoke. Who ya would like to bra and not have the smell of smoke? A little girl. So, it's the furnace. It's the flame, our passion for God. The flame, our passion for God. And then our faculties. The abilities we need to develop to keep the fire burning. What do you have to do when that gift is implanted? And now how do I fan it into flame? The first thing is by hearing. The ability to hear His voice. And if you will not hear if you don't open your ears. I don't mean your physical ears. I mean your spiritual ears. If you don't open your ears, you're not going to hear what God is saying to you. You're not going to have the ability to stay on fire. Revelation and obedience flow from listening. God reveals something to you, and no matter what the situation is, you step into it because you know that this is what God has said to me. I have heard God. I am going to respond. I do want to just put a little, what do you call them? Brackets, cuppies. But keep your ears open. My wife washes her hair. She gets water in her ear and she can't hear anything and she's got a sore ear. Guys, when you shower, put your finger in your ear. Then you can let the water flow. But I'm telling you now, get your fingers out of your ears. I believe there are many of you that are, you're not hearing God because you haven't got your finger out of your ear. You're making yourself deaf. And it's so funny, in the book of Revelation, it says, "He that has an ear." So you need ears. If you look at Noah, Moses, David, God gave them precise instructions. How are you going to have precise instructions in your life if you can't hear God? And then when you hear Him, "Lord, what is that about? What is that about?" The next H, you've heard those, eh, Sam? Hearing. Next one's heeding. The ability to obey what we hear. We need to be able to obey. We need to respond. When a word comes up here on a Sunday, and there's been some words that Dan said to me, and I said to Dan, let's do those afterwards. When God brings a word, there needs to be a response. When you stand up and I say, "I've got a word for you," when you sit down, if that you believe that word is for you, and sometimes I may miss it, and you can come and tell me. I'm not in the place where I think I hit the mark every time. But if you believe that is for you, when you sit down, you say, "Lord, I appropriate that. I take a hold of that. I bring that into my life." It's like Jesus' salvation to us. I take that salvation. I appropriate it in our life. People make a decision to serve Jesus, but they never appropriate the truth that He has given them, the things that He has given them. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about He's given you salvation. He's justified you. He's in the process of sanctifying you. We need to take a hold of those things. It says Jesus learnt obedience through suffering. If he has to, don't we? Hebrews 5 and verse 8, it says, Son though he was, he learnt obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. I also just want to put you heeding, walk with Jesus. Those guys walked with Jesus. I want to tell you, the Israelites, when they didn't follow the Holy Spirit, heavenly air conditioning, cloud during the day, fire at night. When they didn't walk, they died in the desert. When God moves, move with him. Don't find yourself running ahead or lagging behind. Holiness. The ability to risk, to resist compromise. How many times a day, never mind a week, do you find yourself in a place where compromise has been put on you? People say things and when you keep quiet, it means you agree with them. You have to open your mouth, not to be arrogant or a nasty type of person, but you need to open your house and say, this is not what I see in the Word. I don't see this in the Word. So you see those three guys, there's no bending before idols. Some of us in our work situations, I just want to say, you know what? If I don't work on Sunday, my boss will be angry with me. If I don't work on Wednesday night, my boss will be angry with me. Guys, if you bow to that, you lack faith. You need to find God. And then you need to say, God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to work? Because maybe he did. But if he says, no, I would really like you at church on Sunday. And when you took on the job, it said you worked a five-day week. So you can go to the guy who you're working for and say, listen, sorry, when I took this job, it was 5 days a week because on a Sunday, I go to worship my Lord. And so use the opportunity to actually reach out to them. Holding firm, ability to stand against intimidation. And it's not in your own strength. The Word tells us in James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But guys, don't miss the first part. Often people say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It first says, submit yourselves to God. Are you in submission? Are you in submission? I heard something that John Bevere said, and I've been teasing my wife with it. John Bevere said, men should not have to hold their wives in submission. He said, wives, you need to empower your husbands to lead you in the way that God wants you to be led. Faith holds firm under fire. Humility, the ability to repent and remain low before God. Humility, repentance is God's gift to you. Obedience is God's love language. Who's done the five languages of whatever? Obedience is God's love language. When he speaks, you obey. James 4:6, speaking about humility, it says, Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. That's why every time we go shopping, Patty and I just drive for the first closest parking because it's going to become available. I'm God's favorite. And you know what? I haven't missed it most times. Most times I've got it right. And if I get it wrong, I just park in the seniors section. The hope, the ability to trust God's faithfulness. Don't have faith in your faith. Have faith in God's faithfulness. He's going to make this come to pass. He is a faithful God. When God drops a word into your ear, you hear him. You obey him. God is going to make that come to pass because He is a faithful God. We need to be faithful, but from the other side, full of faith in a faithful God. He is able to deliver. Something that I've found can sometimes be a problem is holding onto offense. You've been offended, but I'm telling you, if you don't develop the ability to forgive, you are not going to make it through the fire. You need to go to the person that has offended you, and you need to ask them to forgive you. And if they have offended you, you need to tell them what the offense is. Not tell your best friend or your spouse or anyone. You go first to that person and you speak to them. If they won't listen, then you take somebody with you, preferably a witness or somebody that is reliable. Then you go to them. Then the word says if they won't listen then, and have you heard? There's no deacons or elders or anything involved yet. Then you go to the eldership. You say, guys, this is what's happened. Listen to the story. You make the call. You are the elders. You're going to give account for me one day. You're going to give account for this situation. What do you believe? And then, if the guy does not believe, the word says in Matthew 18, you bring him before the church. You bring him before the church. And I've had the sad job of having to have done this once or twice, not often. Because as elders, we need to fight for people's souls. We need to fight. We don't just put people out. We fight for them. Lord, you gave them to us. How can you take them from us? We need to fight, and we need to fight strongly, not just, oh Lord, sorry, he's gone. Another one bites the dust. Sounds like a song. Another one bites the dust. I could be in the worship group, guys. What do you think? Brandon, do you think I could make it? Hey, you know what? One thing I have found in this church, this congregation, is you have no respect for the old people. Because you play so many false songs, I am so tired at the end of worship. I'm only joking. You guys have a wonderful worship band. But you have even better people. Worship people. Worshippers. The last F is the favor, the outcome in the fire. The fire burns the rope, not the faithful. God's people emerge without the smell of smoke. Guys, when I was in Nelspruit, we planted a church in Nelspruit in 1995. And this year we're going to the 30th anniversary of that church at the end of October. And when we were there, we had two accidents in cars, one after another. The one, the guy hit, he had a bull bar, and he hit, a car came onto his side of the road, and he hit them, and all four people that he hit were killed. Then, we had another lady, same instance, and she was in her car, and the truck that, the bucky that hit her, no, sorry, the Hilux that hit her, don't jokes, watch TV. The Hilux that hit her totally flattened her car. She should have been dead. They pulled her out. She had a broken toe. So the next week, I preached. You know Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me. Jehovah Salam, Shalom, the Lord is my peace. I encourage you to go look up those words because they mean a lot. They are part of our inheritance. The Lord Himself is our inheritance, it says. I preached on, the Lord is our bull bar. The Lord is our bull bar. It protected the first guy. He had the bull bar. It actually stopped the lady from being killed when the bull bar hit her. God works in mysterious ways. No other God can save like this. Promotion always follows perseverance, just by the way. I'm not tagging that on to make it an exciting thing. Yes, I'm going to get through the fire because I'm going to have a promotion. But it says in Daniel 3 and verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So he has a sentence that I've tried to put together. In the furnace, God ignites the fire. He shapes our faculties as we learn to walk with Jesus. And he then reveals his favor so we can live in the fire without the smell of smoke. Guys, we can live in the fire. We need to live in the fire. We need to be in that fire. We need to have fuel that is fueling that fire. We need to be those that are putting oxygen in there so that that fire can burn. Because you know that there is one that will walk with you. You know that you're going to come out the other side without smelling smoke. As Dan spoke about those guys that spoke about the rapture, do you know what? If you die today, it's your rapture. If you die today, it's your day. And so every one of us could die at any time. God could come back for us. He is sovereign. And at the end of the day, what he ordains will happen. Look at Job. Everything got taken away from him. But you know what? At the back, it says he was, at the end, it says he was given more than he ever had. But he had to walk through the fire. He had to walk through a fire. So this morning, it's so nice to preach where I don't know people, because maybe there is still one or two of you that have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've never surrendered your life. You've never... When I mean surrender, I don't mean making him Lord and Savior. I mean surrendering. You make yourself a subject to the kingship of the King. What you say, I do. If you say into the fire, I'm into the fire because I know that you're with me. I hear you. I understand that I can live in your favor because you are the King and I am the subject. So we need God to ignite. We need him to ignite. The first step in your work, your walk with God, is that your heart is ignited. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you have surrendered your life. You've given your life. Some people say, who wants to give their life? No, I don't want you to give your life. I want you to surrender your life. Because those that give their life sometimes find themselves in the place of having given their life, but they find themselves losing their way. And so you may be sitting here this morning and you think, but I've given my life to the Lord. Yes, you have. But maybe you've drawn away. Maybe you've become cold. Maybe you find yourself outside the fire. I want to tell you, if you're not living in the fellowship of the saints, you're going to grow cold. The word says, encourage one another daily. We don't encourage ourselves by not being with people. I want to tell you that I'm a bit of an introvert, actually, believe it or not. But I force myself to be with people. God says they will know you by your love one for another. Not by your offense, your whatever it is, by your love one for another. How much do you love your brother and sister that is sitting here today? Do you? No, I've got that thing against so-and-so over there. You know what? If you've got something, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong with you not dealing with it. Going to where you need to go. But you know what? I like volume because it ignites. Sometimes you go to a congregation where the sound is low, and it's like, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. Or, oh, the blood of... I used to do that with my child when he wouldn't go to sleep because I didn't have enough petrol to drive him around the neighborhood. So it was, oh, the blood. Shape. Allow people to shape your life. You're not the only shaper here. And especially, I'm pushing it because I want you to take a hold of it. Elders and their wives are put into this congregation to shape you. They're not yet to put you to break your will. They're yet to shape your will, to get you going in the right direction. And even if it doesn't feel lekker, do you all know what lekker means? Are you sweet, even though it doesn't. Allow them to bend you. Deacons are put into this congregation. Deacons, if you are not shaping people, if you are not discipling people, you are not doing what God has called you to do. We're not deacons for the position. We are deacons for the function. Oh, but we're only deacons. Let me tell you, Philip was a deacon. He got a whole city saved. Whole city. And then when the whole city was saved, he called all the main men, the apostles and all those guys. Come, you take over. I'm going to the eunuch. Shoo! Astral travel. Finds himself in a chariot. We need to walk with God. I'm not even going to go there. You need to walk with God. You need to sit with God. You need to get with God. Wherever it takes you. I'm privileged. I bought Andrew's lazy boy when he went to America. So when I sit in it, I like tingle. There's such an anointing there. Guys, if we ignite, if we shape, if we walk, we will walk in God's favor. So I wonder if you could all just bow your heads. I'm going to pray. And if you fall into any of those categories, if you fall into any of those categories, you need igniting. You need to open your heart to being shaped. People always want to shape other people. I tell you, you must have a heart to be shaped. You need to walk with God or sit with God or lay down with God. There have been times when I sit and I laugh and I carry on and Patty walks in, she thinks I've gone mad. She's walked in at times I'm laying on my face. Lord, I am yours. I am yours. And you know what? If we walk in those things, if we lay down in those things, if we get ignited in those things, we will live under God's favor. We will live under God's favor. You will be able to get the parking at the front door. You will be in pole position in the Grand Prix. So if you fall into any of those places this morning, I wonder if you could just stick your hand up. I want to pray for you guys.